It just goes on and on, my friend. Some people started singing it, not knowing what it was, and they'll just keep on singing it forever, just because it's just a song that never ends. It just goes on and on, my friend. What?
Stop singing that stupid song.
I can't stop it. It's a song that never ends. Some people started singing it, not knowing what it was, and now they keep on singing it forever.
Shut up.
This is FSCK, the corporate media, number 20. I'm DJ Microbrew, and here's the news for Thursday, 26 January, 2006. Wow. Okay, now here are some snippets from my zine coming out this weekend. You can get the zine by Googling, or yeah, any other search engine too. The following keywords: activist times zine. And my handle in there is, of course, Prime Anarchist. We got numbers, we got letters to the editor, we start off with an Al Gore quote. There's a somewhat powerful concept. One should net each day only what his family can eat that night. I had a little column that goes, at 4307, the movie Voices from the Earth, Bush walks into his place to sign the Anwar legislation. I'm almost positive Governor Roland was there. He was inside, closest to the door, as Bush walks by, and so does Cheney. Can I see and or confirm Abramoff in there? Is anyone out there as good or better at rewinding and fast-forwarding DVD? Check it out if you can. Then I made an editorial note, never mind. One more pass showed it was just Roland, wife, kids, Cheney, and Bush. I have a long article about Navajo deities. Then some research about American Idol. Kind of questioning, rhetorically, whether the people coming on as contestants, well, you know, whether they're, okay, I'll say it, paid actors. The conclusion I come up with after asking these questions is that Simon Cowell is not Adam Curry's illegitimate son. And then it ends with a quote, just like it begins, but this one's by Harry Belafonte. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of plantations in America where people are slaving away their lives. You know, one of the big problems that we have in this country is the inability to be honest and to be straightforward. So there you have it, Activist Times Zine, a production of Prime Anarchist Productions, in conjunction with no one in particular enterprises. Don't hate the media. You are the media. Don't hate it. F-S-C-K it. File system check. Corporate media.
Hi, this is Biz and you're Ed.
That's right.
William, you know what? Last month when I was visiting my mom in Florida, I secretly recorded her with the audio studio trying to sing along to Willie Nelson on my iPod. It was hilarious! But I deleted it.
Why'd you delete it?
Well, because I wanted to send it to my sister, not to everybody, but I couldn't send it to my sister. It's too bad. She would have really loved it.
Because you publish it to your audio channel, and then it's like you put it out there for the world.
Yeah,
and
it was a little bit. It was really bad.
Yeah, but what if you could just record it and then send it to your sister?
Whoa, that'd be huge. I would love that.
I think it'd be neat.
Yeah, that would be good.
Or what if you could record it and then just send it to a few people, but it wasn't just sitting out there and for the world. So
nice.
So you didn't feel like you were parading this
thing. That would be huge.
Like a radio show.
Oh my god.
I think it'd be neat.
We should totally do that someday.
I think we already did.
What? What do you mean?
So go use the studio.
Are you trying to say that if you remember before today of Odeo that we just upgraded your account to have the Create Tools?
That is exactly what I'm
saying. And you can share it with a few folks or the world? And it's your choice?
It's your choice.
Oh my god.
I think it's neat.
Wow. Folks, try that out and let us know what you think.
The revolution is brewing in small batches.
So, Here we have Sir Anthony Crummick about to brew some, what kind of coffee do we have today?
We're looking at, Hacienda Carabobo.
Hacienda Carabobo, yeah?
Yeah.
Hey, I sent out some good, special dinner pictures.
Oh, that's nice, John Mulro. We're in the middle of a podcast. We're about to grind some coffee in the Carabobo.
A podcast?
Then we have to come forth from the live from Higgy's room.
Alright, let's do it.
1, 2, 3. Live from the upper room, it changes the setting quite a bit. There you go. Completely grind.
No. That was wonderful. That was wonderful. Coming up next time, we will brew some espresso for you.
Live from room 203.
This is room 204, Anthony. We're going to be brewing in room 204, Anthony. Alright, see you next time.
Welcome to Media Minutes, a weekly review of news relating to the intersection of media and democracy. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Kimberly Cronick.
This year, the Congress is expected to take up a telecom issue that will determine the future usefulness of broadband connectivity in the United States. Central to this issue is a concept called network neutrality. This concept, according to Consumer Federation of America Research Director Mark Cooper, is well ingrained in U.S. legal and regulatory history, having first been applied to railroads in the late 19th century.
So if I wanted to move grain down from my farm to a silo and then to a port, the railroad was not allowed to discriminate against me, to say, no, I'm not going to move your grain. I don't like the color of your eyes or your skin, or you're competing with my uncle or my cousin. So they had to operate their networks in a neutral manner, a non-discriminatory manner.
In the early 1900s, Congress mandated telephone networks operate on the principle of network neutrality. But now phone and cable companies, most notably AT&T, Bell South, and Verizon, want to kill off this concept in favor of what they envision to be a multi-level internet. Under this principle, consumers would continue to pay for a fast connection, but websites and other online content providers would also pay a premium to guarantee fast transport over broadband networks. Cooper says a scenario like that would effectively turn the net into something that more closely resembles today's cable TV systems.
If you think about your cable system, the cable operator decides which programs get to be in that system. They decide, not the consumer. And that's what the telephone companies want to do.
The technology already exists to prioritize packets of data flowing over broadband networks. For example, packets associated with voice over IP telephone calls get priority over email traffic because of the real-time nature of talking on the telephone. Cooper thinks using this technology, called policy-based routing, will fundamentally change the way the internet evolves.
The next Google, the new guys, won't be able to pay this freight, so that they will literally strangle the flow of innovation that has been the lifeblood of the internet.
Cable and phone company lobbyists are working hard to convince lawmakers to abandon the principle of network neutrality in the broadband context. The FCC has already ceded its authority in this area. Chairman Kevin Martin says he'd rather deal with individual cases of data discrimination when they occur. The problem is that once such discrimination begins on a widespread level, it's very difficult to reverse. A first draft of telecom reform legislation circulated on Capitol Hill late last year contained language mandating broadband network neutrality, but on revision, that provision was removed. Mark Cooper says the concept has worked so well throughout history with old-school transportation and communication networks that it would be simply foolish to abandon it now.
We're making a set of decisions across all of these areas that will determine the structure of the way we speak and hear for generations. And sometimes we don't realize how important these decisions are. That's our job, to make people understand what's at stake. We can't have big corporations who own the wires deciding who gets to speak.
And it appears the majority of Americans agree. A recent nationwide survey by the Consumer Federation of America, Consumers Union, and Free Press found more than two-thirds of those polled worry about cable and phone companies blocking access to online content or being forced to pay extra for content they now get for free. A similar margin supports the concept of network neutrality, but less than half believe cable and phone companies will voluntarily adhere to this principle. The Senate's Commerce Committee will discuss net neutrality in a public hearing on Tuesday, February 7th.
Cable and phone companies are again trying to stifle the development of community internet projects in Indiana. Last year, a bill to completely deregulate phone service and ban public entities from building out their own broadband networks was defeated after cities, towns, and concerned citizens rallied to stop the legislation. But a new proposal would effectively ban the public provision of broadband unless a community agrees to undertake a cumbersome administrative process to prove that no private broadband options exist. In addition, this new bill would provide a host of tax and other financial incentives to entice cable and phone companies to expand broadband. These incentives, unfortunately, would most likely deprive local governments of property tax revenues.
You've been listening to Media Minutes, a joint production of the Illinois Initiative for Media Policy Research at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization dedicated to media democracy. For more information, visit our website at freepress.net.
Tell News 4 that this man was trying to break through a police line when he was tackled to the ground. But even after he was down on the ground, an officer could be seen hitting the top of the man's head with the edge of his nightstick. As the man was led away, charged with assaulting a police officer, a wound was clearly visible on the top of his head. D.C. Police Chief Charles Ramsey declined to comment on the incident. Protest organizers say that this was not the only example of the excessive force during today's march.
The struggle for the airwaves, for the Pacifica network, is one of the most important things going on in the country today, because it really represents a struggle for the hearts and minds of the people. And if we can't communicate to people, we're not going to be able to reach them. And this is about that, and about what they're not telling us, why we need shows like Democracy Now! You'd think I'm really trying to ingratiate myself with the staff of Democracy Now!, but... And it's true, but... The CIA is pushing crack in the ghettos of L.A. while the food crops in Colombia get sprayed by the DEA. The FBI is reading your email with something called the carnivore. While the rich are getting richer and the poor are staying poor, they're launching nuclear-powered ships up into space. One little accident could wipe out half the human race. They're putting radioactive waste into your silverware, or maybe your toaster, or perhaps your wheelchair. The Air Force is bombing Iraq every other day. They don't like the government, so the children have to pay. And the ozone hole is growing, the sheep are going blind, while the U.S. spends more on arms than the rest of the world combined. Journalists are getting fired from San Jose to Atlanta when they write about reality, not a fluff piece for Fanta. A death threat every week, and sometimes life is short when the truth is too dangerous for someone to report. And who will tell the people that free speech is a ruse? The corporations run the country, and then they make the news. Is it media or mind control, heroic victories or crimes? Who will tell the people that we're living in these times? The cancer rates are skyrocketing, though people are smoking less. If you live near a nuke, your life is bound to be a mess. Clean water's almost gone all over the earth, and what's left they want to privatize and see how much it's worth. Chevron is gunning down the students of Nigeria, turning the land to waste while the babies die of diphtheria. And the temperatures are rising, the world's forests are on fire. Pretty soon Brazil will be one raging funeral pyre. And who will tell the people that free speech is a ruse? The corporations run the country, and then they make the news. Is it media or mind control, heroic victories or crimes? Who will tell the people that we're living in these times? One in three adult Americans cannot read or write, and their children go to bed hungry every night. 2 million U.S. citizens are rotting behind bars, and while they're there, they're working hard building parts for cars. The Army's running torture schools to keep the earth under control, and they're relocating Navajos so they can mine some extra coal. Our taxes pay McDonald's to sell tumors in Shanghai, while 100,000 poison vets are just about to die. And who will tell the people that free speech is a ruse? The corporations run the country, and then they make the news. Is it media or mind control, heroic victories or crimes? Who will tell the people that we're living in these times? And the people are resisting wherever you may go, and this is the single biggest fact they don't want you to know. From New Delhi to New Mexico, there are battles going on, and the darkest hour is just before the dawn. In Berkeley and New York, they're raiding radio stations, trying to turn the voice of the people into the voice of the corporations. Will we seize the airwaves, wipe the sweat off of our brow, stand and face the beast and shout democracy now? Who will tell the people that free speech is a ruse? The corporations run the country, and then they make the news. Is it media or mind control, heroic victories or crimes? Who will tell the people that we're living in these times? That we're living in these times? That we're living in these times.
Here's the thing, we started our friends. It was cool, but it was all pretend. Yeah, yeah, since you've been gone.
Since you've been gone, I'm out of my head. Can't take it. Somebody run. can't take it.
Everybody is heading homeward or leaving for distance or places unknown. They're tying up their laces or fluffing up their pillows. Say a prayer till they all get home.
Make you wanna split your jeans, eating greasy grit gravy.
English Alice. We went down to Buckingham Palace.
Yeah.
Walked in on the king and queen, eating greasy grit, gravy, and gizzard green. Greasy grit, gravy, and gizzard green. Pick that pie and bumblebee. Make you wanna split your jeans, eating greasy grit, gravy, and gizzard green.
Doctor, doctor, help me, please. I'm neurotic as I can be. I keep doing it in my dreams. So crazy, 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 and kiss her green.
Dixie Belle, she's Southern fried. She don't want no champagne wine. You want to get into her jeans, give her
crazy, 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 and kiss her green. Crazy, 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 and kiss her green.
Welcome back to the BuzzFlash.com GOP Hypocrite of the Week. What is a double standard hypocrisy? Well, Texas GOP Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson reminded us this week. On a Sunday talk show, Hutchinson dismissed as trivial any indictments of White House officials for things like perjury and obstruction of justice as minor technicalities unworthy of prosecution. Of course, when Clinton was tried in the Senate for lying about fellatio, Hutchinson thought perjury and obstruction of justice the most serious of legal violations. Here's what she had to say then. What would we be telling Americans and those worldwide who see in America what they can only hope for in their own countries if the Senate of the United States were to conclude the president lied under oath as an element of a scheme to obstruct the due process of law? But we chose to look the other way. I cannot make that choice. I cannot look away. I vote guilty on Article 1, perjury. I vote guilty on Article 2, obstruction of justice. So, this is the quintessential Republican hypocrisy. The rule of law only applies to Democrats. Republicans are all born with a get-out-of-jail-free card. Hutchinson believes that lying about your sex life is more serious than leaking information that threatens the national security of every American. Hutchinson, a strong supporter of the Iraq War, believes that not telling the truth about fellatio is more serious than damaging the work of a CIA operative who specialized in tracking the illicit sales and transfer of weapons of mass destruction. You know, Hutchinson doesn't just deserve the BuzzFlash GOP Hypocrite of the Week. She deserves our contempt. Remember our motto at BuzzFlash.com? So many Republican hypocrites. Man, so little time. Catch up with you soon.
Okay, listen up. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fort Benning Military Police Processing Center. You will be processed for violation of Title 18, U.S. Code Section 1382, Criminal Trespassing. You will exit the bus and enter the building on my left to your right. Building over there. At all times, take directions from the military police. You will be required to provide identification at the beginning of the processing center. Failure to provide identification will result in you being turned over to the U.S. Marshals. Your full cooperation is appreciated and will make the processing quick and easy for you. We can pay to be here. We want to make it easy on you, huh? Make sure you take all your stuff off the bus and follow me.
We call this song Father Roy's Protest Movement. It's about Father Roy and the protest movement. But Father Roy's Protest Movement is not the name of the movement, that's just the name of the song, which is why we call the song Father Roy's Protest Movement. Well, you can get anything you want at the Waffle House. You can get anything you want at the Waffle House. Just look for the signs, they're yellow and black. You can get a hearty meal or a light snack. You can get anything you want at the Waffle House.
This song starts at the Waffle House. People from up north don't know about the Waffle House, but about the only thing the South has more of is kudzu. It was about two Thanksgivings ago, that's 2 years ago around Thanksgiving, when I was sitting at the Waffle House. And you're probably wondering, what's a Yankee doing down south in a Waffle House? Well, I had come down to protest the School of the Americas, that's the U.S. Army School of the Americas at Fort Benning. So I'm sitting in the Waffle House on my way to protest the SOA, when, well, now you're probably wondering, why is he protesting the School of the Americas? Well, it's a long story, so you might just want to sit down for a spell. Now, the protesting part starts around 10 years ago, but the school, well, the school goes back to 1946. Now, at the time, it seemed like a good idea, because back in 1946, we were fighting the communists, and the communists were the biggest, baddest people on the whole planet. So if you had to kill a few people in Latin America to preserve freedom and democracy, it didn't seem like a very high price to pay. So the school went on for about 40 years, teaching, murdering, and torturing, and all sorts of mean, nasty, horrible, ugly stuff. And nobody really complained, except for a few liberals, and nobody listens to them. Besides, the school was in Panama, and who pays attention to what goes on in Panama? But then, a terrible thing happened. The Panamanians decided that they didn't like all the murdering and torturing and other mean, nasty, horrible stuff being taught in their country, and they kicked the school out. So, the Army moved the school to Fort Benning. You remember Fort Benning? And that seemed to work out fine, because people pay almost as little attention to what happens in Georgia as they do to Panama. But then, a second terrible thing happened. The Cold War ended, and we had won. All of a sudden, all of the big, bad, terrible communists we'd fought for 40 years weren't there anymore. It was a dramatic thing. People were tearing down the Berlin Wall with hammers and shovels and implements of destruction, and selling chunks to anyone dumb enough to buy a piece. Unfortunately, the word about communism didn't spread very fast, at least not to folks in Central America. It's right around Thanksgiving, 11 years ago, it's 11 Thanksgivings ago, about a week before Thanksgiving, that a group of soldiers in El Salvador got in a lot of trouble. These soldiers, who were sort of like the Green Berets, except with a nastier attitude, killed some university professors and their housekeeper. Now, I know university professors do tend to be on the liberal communist type side. Of course, these professors happen to be Jesuit priests. Now, being a priest and being a communist might seem mutually contradictory given the atheism and all, but you have to understand Central America. These priests thought it was a good idea if rich people had a little less money and poor people had a little more money. And in El Salvador, that is called communism. So the gung-ho soldiers, under the impression they were killing big, bad communists, murdered some priests and two women. Now, it probably won't surprise you, but most of these bad apples were graduates of the School of the Americas. And it's right about here that the protesting part of the story begins. Because a priest from Louisiana named Roy Bourgeois heard about all this, and he got pissed off. I mean mad, with M-A-D in capital letters, and he decided that he would shut the place down no matter how long it took. Now, at the time, Father Roy, remember Father Roy, the song's about Father Roy, was taking on the biggest military machine in the history of the world, a machine run by guys named Bush and Cheney, and he might have underestimated how determined they would be. Then again, the Pentagon underestimated Father Roy. Now, some people are just born troublemakers, like Gandhi or Martin Luther King, and you have to count Roy in that number. When he was in Bolivia, he got arrested for starting up a human rights group. Well, Hugo Banzer, the dictator down there, knew that if you gave people human rights,
The next thing they want is democracy, and, well, that's just bad for business. So he nipped those human rights troublemakers in the bud. Father Roy got kicked out of the country as persona non grata, which is a fancy Latin word for troublemaker. So Father Roy came back to America, and in 1983, he found out there were soldiers from El Salvador at Fort Benning. So he went there, dressed up as a soldier, and climbed up in the trees with a big old loudspeaker. And in the middle of the night, he played a sermon by this archbishop named Oscar Romero. He was another person killed by graduates of the School of the Americas. And it was a wild time. People running around, looking up in the trees. They were screaming terrified, and they got Father Raw out of the trees, and they sent to face the judge. And not just any judge, but Robert Maximum Bob Elliott. Now, Judge Elliott knew something about massacres because he helped Lieutenant Kelly, the one who killed all those people at My Lai in Vietnam. Well, the judge helped him get away with it. But Judge Elliott's proudest moment was sentencing Martin Luther King to jail. So the odds were not in Father Roy's favor, and he wound up in prison, but he knew he would be back. And he was. Now, you probably won't believe this, but back in 1989, they actually allowed Father Roy to visit the school, and he did, just to find out what was going on. And there was an instructor there, and he was saying, I wanna kill, I wanna kill, I wanna see blood and gore and guts and veins in my teeth, eat dead burn bodies, I mean kill, 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 kill. And that was in the human rights training course. Of course, he was saying this all in Spanish, so it was doubly frightening. So, Father Roy, I'll just call him Father Roy because bourgeois is awfully hard to spell. He set up shop right outside of Fort Benning. Now, can you imagine that, setting up shop right outside of Fort Benning? Well, that's what he did, and said he wasn't leaving until a school in the Americas did, too. And Father Roy, he started out fasting, but fasting works kind of slow. So he and two other people marched over to the School of the Americas to their Hall of Fame. Now can you imagine running to the Hall of Fame? And they threw blood on the walls, which got him before the judge again. And you guessed it, it was Judge Elliott. And Father Roy told him the truth cannot be silenced, but the judge apparently felt it could be, and he sent Father Roy to jail again. Yes, justice is truly deaf and dumb when Judge Elliott's on the bench. Now, this protest movement started out kind of slow. There were about 70 people or so, and they'd come and protest and didn't get a whole lot of attention. Remember, this is Georgia, and people don't pay a whole lot of attention to what's going on in Georgia. Except for Congress. Now, some fine congressmen from Massachusetts decided Father Roy was right, and they tried to stop funding for the school. Well, they failed the first time out. But in 1994, five people got arrested, and then in 1995, 10 people got arrested. Well, that attracted some attention. Because in 1996, 400 people showed up, and 60 people got arrested. And those members of Congress kept busy trying to shut the school, and they gained votes, but they still failed the second time and the third time. But that attracted even more attention, because in 1997, 2,000 showed up at Fort Benning, 2,000 people, and 601 people, 10 times more, got themselves arrested. And after that, things kept growing. The next Thanksgiving in 1998, an amazing thing happened. 7,000 people, can you imagine 7,000 people showed up? And there was a mighty fine rally. But right in the middle of the rally, a military policeman came out with a paper in his hand and he read, whoever within the jurisdiction of the United States goes upon any military, naval, or coast guard, reservation, post, hostile, fort, yard, station, or installation for any purpose, for which law, lawful organization, whatever, and does upon with any instrument, post, fire, yard, hostile, fort, and he went on for about 5 minutes, and nobody understood a word he said. But everybody had a good time singing folk songs and getting their pictures taken with Martin Sheen and such. And they just waited there ready to march over the line, and over 2,300 people did. Now the police were ready, or at least they thought they were. They had 27 blue and white buses, bluebird painted on the side of each one, with a drive inside of each one, ready to transport the transgressors. And at first, this worked out fine. The cops had a mighty fine old time putting the protesters in the buses until, well, they got to the last bus. And there were more people. I mean a lot more people. I mean a whole lot more people. And the cops looked at the buses, and they looked at the crowd, and they looked at the buses, and they looked at the crowd. And right then and there, I think I saw one of them cry. Well, they knew they were beat, so they just took everyone over to Rigdon Park and dropped them off. And everyone had a fine old time marching through Columbus back to the vigil. And that bill we'd been trying to get through Congress, well, we finally got it through. Well, on the House side anyway, but the Senate killed it. So we came back again that next Thanksgiving, and this time, well, there were 12,000 people. Yeah, 12,000 people, and 4,400 of them crossed the line. And you know, not only did they have the same 27 buses with the drivers in each one, they even had porta potties every now and then. There's something to be said for military planning. Well, after that, Congress got sneaky and changed the name of the school. It's now the Defense Institute for Hemispheric Security Cooperation. Kind of makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside, doesn't it? With all those fine words like defense and security and cooperation. Except the only thing they changed was the name. They're going to keep on teaching the same whole thing, which means Father Ron protest movement will have to keep on doing the same old thing. Which finally gets me to the point of this song. Well, imagine if one person, just one person, marches up to Ridgeway Hall and sings,
"You can get anything you want at the Waffle House."
Well, they'll probably think they're crazy. And since they don't want crazy people in their jail, they'll probably just give them a banned bar order and kick them off the base. And if two people sing it in harmony, they'll think they're gay, and they certainly don't want to put them together in a cell. And if three people, can you imagine three people singing Waffle House, they'll think it's an organization. And can you imagine 50 people a day, I said 50 people a day, singing Waffle House and getting banned and barred. And friends, they may think it's a movement. And that's what it is. The Waffle House closed the SOA anti-massacre movement. And all you have to do to join is to sing it the next time it comes around on the guitar with feeling. So we'll wait for it to come on guitar here and sing it when it does. Here it comes.
Well, you can get anything you want at the Waffle House. You can get anything you want at the Waffle House. Just look for the signs. They're yellow and black. You can get a hearty meal or a light snack. You can get anything you want at the Waffle House.
Well, now, that was horrible. If you want to close the SOA and stuff, you gotta sing loud. Now, I've been talking for 20 minutes now, and I could go on for another 20 minutes. I'm not proud or tired, so we'll just wait for it to come around again, and this time with four-part harmony and feeling. We're just waiting for it to come around is what we're doing. All right now.
Well, you can get anything you want at the Waffle House, including waffles. You can get anything you want at the Waffle House. Just look for the signs. They're yellow and black. You can get a hearty meal or a light snack. You can get anything you want at the Waffle House.
You can get anything you want at the Waffle House, including waffles. You can get anything you want at the Waffle House. Just look for the signs, the yellow and black. You can get a hearty meal or a light snack. You can get anything you want at the Waffle House. At the Waffle House.
This is WSQT Guerrilla Radio, broadcasting on 93.5 FM from the heart of occupied Washington. We are still here, despite the fires and the snitching of those who would prefer that we not be on the air. It takes more than a can of gas and a match to burn out the will of people to resist gentrification, to resist occupation, from occupied Iraq to occupied New Orleans to right here in occupied Washington. It is all the same war, and the fact that Al Jazeera was bombed in the same week as the fire, the set fire at WSQT, is proof of this. They bomb Al Jazeera. They burn WSQT. They are determined to silence voices that oppose them.